These last weeks have been considering the state of affairs in the church and in the world around us. There's been a lot of things happening, a lot of challenges, both in our local cluster, I would say, and in the broader church and in the world around us. With so many things happening, so much activity, and so much movement around us and transitions occurring before our very eyes, it can be a little unsettling, or it can feel a little off balance at times when we look around. With all these forces at play, it seems to me that we face, in a sense, a stiff and, I would say, persistent resistance to the growth and the fidelity to our faith that we're called to live. I would liken it, in a sense, to the experience of living, maybe you'll know the Lord of the Rings, I'm going to use a little analogy here, the story of the Lord of the Rings. In that story, there's a small, isolated region that's known as the Shire. It's a place where these happy little dwarf people live, and they're really excited about their place. It's great. Kind of go lucky, you know, not a lot of problems in the world. It's a great place to live. But this community is sort of, in its isolation, it doesn't really see what's going on around them. And there's actually some people that kind of protect them from the problems of the world. But eventually, even their little corner of the world is afflicted by this corruption of the enemy that's coming at them. The land of Moria, or Mordor, is this group of people that is trying to enslave people and so forth. And so eventually this enemy even corrupts their own land. And the folk of the Shire are, because of their state, they're sort of happy-go-lucky things, they're sort of intimidated, and they're brought into submission and brought into slavery pretty quickly by these fearful creatures or these characters. And they only are roused into action by the return of some battle-hardened veterans from their midst that used to live in the Shire, but then went out, encountered the world, went on this great quest, and then returned. And this small band of warriors that returns is able to stage a revolt and bring things back to where they ought to be, and the Shire returns to its former state. So in my mind, the church, I would say, especially in the civilized Western nations, or maybe even if we thought about it in our own particular situation, our own place, it would be representative of this Shire, this happy-go-lucky place. We have been going along, mostly enjoying life, taking it for granted that many things that we have are just given to us. And we're mostly unconcerned with what is happening around us in the other parts of the world. We hear about things maybe, or warnings from people. We may even be upset at times about things that we hear about, but mostly we're just continue to kind of treat things as business as usual. And at some point, the evil does break in. The evil and the wickedness that is hidden from us will break upon us and catch us unawares. And I fear that at that time, we'll be woefully unprepared to meet the challenges that are thrown our way. So I want to say, in a sense, I want to say, wake up, let's wake up, let's be aware of the peril that we face. I don't want to be alarmist, I don't want to get, you know, send you out on a fool's errand, but I do want to say, I wonder if we're not like the frog in a boiling pot of water. You know, the water slowly, the temperature of water goes up, and eventually the frog doesn't notice because it's so slow and over time, and eventually the water boils, and so does the frog. So we don't want to be the frog. The culture around us has changed. If you look, you know, over the course of the last half century especially, it has become in many ways antithetical to our faith. More and more we are being asked to, or I would even say expected to compromise in the practice of our faith, and being faithful to the church's teachings is getting harder and harder. Because this process has been gradual, it's sort of hard to notice though. It's something we don't always see, we're not always aware of. But don't be caught off guard. We don't want to be caught in the moment of like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden we realize what's happened. So even in just, if you look at the area of morality, for example, and just about every issue in the morality right now, what was acceptable and normal before has been pushed. And now, we never would have accepted the things that are acceptable now. Things like abortion and contraception and gay marriage and transgender ideology, indoctrination of our children in our public schools and in the workplace, the complete removal of any Christian values from our politics, our entertainment, the glorification of violence and promiscuity, self-indulgence, and disregard for legitimate authority. The list could go on and on, as you know. All these things are accepted and held up even as rights that must be protected by the law. And anyone who opposes those things is labeled as intolerant or hateful or uninformed. I don't think this is news to you. If it is, you really do live in a shire. I don't want this to be one of those homilies where we just simply point out all the problems and say, yeah, isn't this terrible? Oh, isn't it? Let's just glory in how terrible it is. And they're all out there in the world around us, and they're terrible, and they're evil, and so forth. And let's feel better that we're here, and we're not out there. That's not what I want to say, but rather, I think the time that we are living in calls for action. It calls for a decision on our parts, a commitment to Christ. If we really want to live a life in Christ, what he actually asks us to do, what he actually tells us to do, then we're going to have to make some decisions. I mean, we're going to have to acknowledge that we live in a different time, that things aren't just going along as they have been. We are swimming upstream. And so far, the water has been, you know, moving pretty slowly and not too bad, but there's been a storm upstream. And the water level is going up and the current is getting faster against us. If we don't bolster our faith by firmly committing ourselves and tenaciously holding on to Christ, then we're going to get swept downstream. That's just the reality. So in the gospel, a man who is deaf and had a speech impediment is brought to Jesus. We heard about that today. And that's us right now, I would say. We are the deaf man. We are the ones with the speech impediment. The church today, in the Western world at least, we're deaf. We are not able to hear God. We aren't able to proclaim the gospel effectively. We can't communicate the faith to others. And that's why people are leaving the church. That's why people are struggling to evangelize or just to live the basic parts of the faith. We're deaf and we're mute, and that's the state of the church right now. But notice what Jesus does. He says, you know, he actually takes this moment, he takes him away from the crowd. It says in the gospel, he took him off by himself away from the crowd, and it's in that moment that Jesus heals him. It is there, away from the noise and the bustle of the crowd, that Jesus does this healing action. And he says, he gives this command, be open. So on a spiritual level, that's what we need to have in our own lives. We as a church have gotten caught up in the rush and the busyness of the world around us, and instead of bringing Christ into the world, we've been deafened by the crowd around us. We need to hear God's voice. So we have to let the world we have to let the world hear the voice of God, rather than having it tell us what our priorities have to be, and in a large part kind of just going along with the culture around us. We need to look past that and say, where is God calling us? When we look for guidance, what's acceptable? You know, instead of looking at the culture, we need to look to Christ. Christ is the one that tells us what we ought to do and how we ought to live. Instead of looking at each other or getting concerned about each other or the person that I work with or somebody else, we need to look and ask Christ, show me how I am to live. Help me to be aware of where I'm called to give myself. Really, if we live this sort of distracted Catholicism, this Catholicism that's caught up in all these things of the world, that kind of Catholicism is, to be blunt, is not attractive, it's not fertile, and it won't keep us close to God. So I would say instead of looking at what's accepted today in our culture, let's consider what Christ expects of us. We need to recalibrate ourselves to Christ, and rather than being always looking around at the world around us, we need to focus on Christ. And that doesn't mean we have to become narrow-minded or judgmental or hard-hearted or uncharitable, but I do think it says that we need to recognize that we can't split the difference anymore. We have to make a decision. We can't ride the fence anymore. You know, I think in many ways we've been trying to do that a long time. Just walk that path between culture and the church, and I kind of want to be part of both, but I can't make up my mind. We have to make a decision and say, I'm going to follow you, Christ. I'm going to stay with you in this hard moment. I'm going to follow where you lead. You know, I'm not sure exactly what that means or where that takes me. We have to make that choice in our lives. When we ask the Lord to do that, I think it'll give us peace of mind. It will give us that consolation that we need to stay rooted to him. So I think it's decision time for us as Catholics. I think it's time for us to look inward and say, Lord, where have I surrendered? Where have I given in to the culture around me? And where do I need to reaffirm my faith in you? It's time to let Christ take us away from the crowd, away from the noise around us, and to open our ears, to loosen our tongues, so that we can be reoriented to him. So let's ask for that grace, that we may come and be those people who are freed to follow Christ.